Welcome to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast, where we help you in the LGBTQ plus community find a safe and affordable retirement place. Join Mark Goldstein as he interviews others who live in gay-friendly places around the globe. Learn about the climate, cost of living, healthcare, crime and safety, and more. Now, here's your host, Mark Goldstein.
Today we journey to Ericeira, Portugal. Did I screw that one up?
No, that was pretty good.
Okay. And our guest, we have Roxana Bellia. And I'll tell you a little bit about Roxana. So Roxana grew up in Buenos Aires in the 60s. The adventure and quest for new economic opportunities took her parents to the vibrant city of New York. That's where I was born and grew up. This amidst the tenuous and fragile government that was later to succumb to a dictatorship. Despite having grown up with a cosmopolitan mindset and bicultural orientation, California became home, and in adult life, Long Beach was her happy home for a long time. She currently works mostly remotely as an executive coach and leadership development advisor, although she sometimes travels within Europe for engagements. She supports clients primarily in the U.S. and also in Latin America, the Caribbean, and in Europe. Her career began in community public health with many fond memories created in the city of Long Beach, where she played and worked. She lived in a four-story Moradia en Banda, similar to a townhouse, three blocks from the quaint town of Ericeira, with her dog Riley, and she's single. Some other information is her wife and partner passed away in 2017. April was an artist and spiritual seeker, and her loss in part fueled her decision to explore beyond her borders. She basically coached herself. Was she living in a town that aligned to her values? The answer was no. Violence, racism, growing homelessness. Added to this, financial pressures brought about her the pandemic aftermath. She needed more community. So with three passports in hand, U.S., Italian, and Argentinian, well, that's pretty good. She started to reflect on options outside of where she lived. She didn't want to burn through her savings to stay afloat. And so in the middle of the pandemic, she reached out to her good friend and realtor, Marilyn, who then lived on the same street and decided to move on to sell her property while the market was still hot. So, Roxana, that's some story. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for coming.
And thank you.
You're welcome. And tell us, so New York and the pandemic and everything fueled your reason to seek out other places. Why Ericeira, Portugal? And correct me, you can say it the correct way if I screwed that up.
Yeah. Maybe I could say it the correct way. Yeah, Portuguese is definitely not an easy language to command. Definitely it's not easy to choose a new neighborhood. I think it's a decision that newcomers find is a paramount decision to make. You know, where do I call home? Especially when there are a lot of coastlines to choose from. You know, one of our borders is the ocean. So you could say there are a lot of beach towns in Portugal from which to choose, and yet there are a lot of different personalities when it comes to different neighborhoods to find a home in. For me, it was a number of different factors that led me to Ericeira. One was I had been traveling, I would say maybe 3-4 times here to Portugal before I landed here. The first time was when I was in grad school. I'd come here, I think, during exams, and I met friends through friends and got to meet them, like them, and they showed me around, showed me some of the historical areas within Lisbon at the moment. And then I came on subsequent trips. And then during the pandemic, I started my house hunting process thinking, you know, why not Portugal? Because the question I got asked, being that I do speak Spanish fluently, is why not Spain? So right. Why not Spain, Roxana? You speak Spanish. Why the heck would you want to learn a new language? I happen to love languages. So that was more of a nice challenge for me. I don't see language as a barrier. I see it as an invitation to learn. Although I have to tell you, Portuguese did kick my butt.
It's not easy.
It's extremely difficult. And I thought, oh my God, I've never been humbled by a language like Portuguese. It's now my third most dominant language. I think I shared with you in our prep for this call that I have a melange now between French, Italian, which I'm preparing, and Portuguese, but it floated. It got afloat. So why Ericeira? There was a group of local lesbians that I had met on prior trips, and their mom lives near here. So something as simple as that. So they said, do you want to come over? We're celebrating San Antonio, one of the many saints, and we're having sardines because that's how we celebrate San Antonio. And I didn't necessarily, I could take or leave sardines. I've since think more leave it than take it, but I had some sardines then with them. And they said their mom had purchased some land from a relative. And they said, what do you think? It was gorgeous. Mom had a property that they built. They had vineyards and they had a homegrown garden and they had a natural pool and they had a home that was built like a prefab type, but gorgeous home on rolling hills. And they said, well, the developer and the architect that built mom's home or co-designed it with her have some properties. And so if you'd like, after lunch, we can go look at some of their homes. And, you know, going to a Portuguese's home already is like a special, special, special treat that just doesn't happen all the time. It's a rare thing. So that already, I was feeling very grateful for that opportunity to be in their home. And so we went off and they showed me three homes that were under development. And these were all brand new homes built from scratch. Mm-hmm. And they were beautiful homes. The only problem was, here I am, you mentioned single, with a little dog and no car. And I'm like, oh gosh, this looks so remote. And I speak hardly any Portuguese, so my Spanish is not going to get me very far. And how am I getting to anywhere? So I said, this one's out. So there's 1, 2, 3, out the door. I can't. And I was already working with another realtor, actually, a lesbian also, that I had found through another friend of these same friends. So I was already plugging into the LGBT network. I was very mm-hmm. proud of that.
Good for you.
Yeah. And this one, I didn't like the home. I think I mentioned to you, Mark, because I was being biased. It was full of straight people with kids. And I said, what the heck am I going to do with straight people and kids? I love kids, but there's nobody else I identified with. So I'm like, okay, despite liking kids, I want people that I can relate to too. And I wouldn't mind if it was a little more mixed, but no. That's like, I'm going to be like the auntie that I'm going to be stuck with the kids while they all go out on dates. No.
Yeah.
You know, so no, that didn't fit. And then they took me to Ericeira. And I knew it had like a downtown. And this was a town that back in the day, before they built the main artery, the road that connects to Lisbon. So Lisbon's only 30 minutes away without traffic. In 2011, I believe, it was hard to get to. So people that were more affluent had second homes in Ericeira, and they would come just to the beach in the summer, period. No one lived here until people like me had started showing up in the last maybe 10 years. No one lived here. It is very windy. It reminded me of Mykonos. I had gone there with my wife, April, who had very thin glasses, and her glasses would always like fly away. And we'd go, oh my God, it is so windy. It makes for a good surf under the right conditions. But now people are moving in here from the States. I mentioned to you a lot of New Yorkers live in the area. We need to recruit more LGBT into 80 SATA. So here's my plug. I think I know of one other lesbian in town. She's in a relationship. I have friends that are in MAFNA that are gay men. They always ask me to help recruit because we do need to grow the community out here. But there are a lot of New Yorkers, East Coasters, artists seem to like it. And a lot of people, like I'm in my mid to late 50s, a lot of people from the East Coast seem to like it here. Like I have a neighbor from New York that's a photographer. So when I walk into town, I often hear English being spoken, and that's like,
it's kind of refreshing.
It makes you feel more at ease.
Right. Like, oh, my homie.
And what's nice is even though I have a car, which I do enjoy not needing to take the bus anymore, I don't need it in town. The beach is 3 blocks away. The town is 7 minutes away. I could do groceries by foot. The restaurants are by foot. The laundry is by foot. And you have every service you could need. The vet, the dentist, gasoline, you know, anything you could need. Lots of restaurants and lots of variety. Very near town. Very near the homes.
That's great. Usually people, I know when they're looking and they're coming from, let's say, the States, they focus on Lisbon, I think, number one, Porto, or somewhere in the Algarve.
Yes, the Algarve is very popular.
Yeah, but
Porto
again,
also.
But for me, I thought about it too, and I was like, well, Lisbon is expensive and it's too crowded. Porto is too cold for me.
For a lot of people, it's cold. For others, it's just right.
Right.
You know?
Yeah,
and I think
for
the
me,
other, yeah, for you, it's too cold. You know, the other consideration is global warming. What I find is Lisbon, for me, I love the architecture in Lisbon. So I was leaning towards Lisbon. The prices were too high. So I bought a lot more house for the same money. I would have had maybe a small 2-bedroom. And I didn't need the 5 bathrooms I'm stuck with needing to clean. But like you mentioned, I have all these house, well, we were talking offline before we started, I have house guests. So I can have multiple house guests at the same time and not need to worry or send some of them off to a hotel because of the space that I have. And when we were thinking pandemic, you know, if something happened, there's no problem because there's space because I have multiple floors and I have a side that looks to the beach, you know. So in that regard, it's very comfortable. Then the temperature. When people are sweating in Lisbon, I have the ocean breeze. That's amazing. And the other beauty is that when I want to go to the cinema and there's like, because I speak French and or understand, I can't say speak anymore because now only Portuguese comes out, but I can understand it. And when there's French cinema, I could go to Lisbon. When there's Italian cinema, which I also enjoy, or LGBT flicks, I go to Lisbon. When there is a LGBT hike, which I love, they do them all around town, I can hook up with those groups because I'm not in the middle of nowhere.
Right. You're only 30 minutes out. So that's wonderful.
To me, that's important. I can't be so far away, especially when you're single, that you don't have access to people. Like for me, if you're a great, deep introvert like my wife was, she didn't need people. She just deep in her art. And people like that are, they're fine, you know, with their solitude. But for me, like this center has a lot of people watching. So if I need to feel the vibe or the energy of others, I can go quietly with a coffee and have some of that. Mm-hmm. There's lots of concerts, both in Eddie Seda, but not far in Mafra, which is maybe 12 minutes. And it's closer towards Lisbon. That's why my gay male friends that are in Mafra, they bought a ruin in a house in Mafra and they're building because one of them's from Belgium and they like more the country lifestyle. They're actually only 20 minutes out from Lisbon. Hmm. And the palace there that's 300 years old, they have organ music. They have like five organs inside, and they have concerts during the holidays and also throughout the year. They also give free concerts. My first concert was in Mafra, and I was just house hunting. I was actually looking in Mafra, and I remember seeing a violinist and a singer from Brazil singing to the violin and a pianist. And I said, how much? They said, no, it's free. I said, you're kidding. And so these are normal things here. It's either €3, five, or free. And I'm like, wow, that's it.
That's pretty good. And I related to when you said that you didn't want to move to a place with young kids and young couples and kids. I was in the same predicament when I moved to Florida. And that's when I started the group, the Facebook group, Where Do Gays Retire? So that's when it was born, because we moved there, brand new house, beautiful, everything, but we were just in the wrong place. And I think after the first, I kid around, I tell my husband, oh, it was after the first day, he said, oh, we should look somewhere else to move. But we lasted there 4 years.
Yeah. And having said that, if anybody considers it, Iseda, there are a lot of young families moving here. They have good school. But there is a mix. Like I have a neighbor, I'm looking that way out my window, it's Cuban, and the wife is from Miami. I told you my other neighbor is from New York. She's a single photographer. So there is a mix. Then there are others that are from Ukraine and Russia. But to me, that's extremely attractive because I grew up, diversity. First of all, my last place in the U.S. was Long Beach, but I lived in New York. So for me, like the melting pot is what I look for. I like different ages. I like different ethnicities. And if I have that kind of mix of ages and races and ethnicities and the respect that comes with that, perfect.
Yeah.
That's my ideal. If everybody looks white, and then I start to panic.
Right. Like we just Orange have to County. Get you a little bit more of the gay community to you.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we need more gays. So that's why I'm on your show. I'm here to recruit.
You hear that, folks? Eliseira.
Eliseira.
Eliseira. Yeah. I can never get that right. But okay, so that's great. So where is it located actually from Lisbon? Is it west or east?
Northwest.
Northwest. Okay. And about 30 minutes. And you said you could walk to the beaches?
Yeah, there are many. This is a natural surf reserve. That designation kind of put Eriseida on the map. Especially for surfers, there are a lot of surf competitions that occur here. Not necessarily, I don't think, the beach right by my house, the one that's closest, but one up that's, I think, like another 8 minutes further up the coast. But there's a number of beaches up and down the coast here that have amazing surfing. I don't surf, but I certainly like to watch. Yeah. I like to hear, and also Nazaré. Nazaré has the 100-foot waves. I've yet to see the big ones. I always see the baby ones when I go. But I'm going to be looking in another month. October is when they start.
Oh, cool. Take pictures.
Yes. Or videos. I'll share some.
Yeah, I'll put them on my Instagram account. So tell us a little bit about the climate. Is it hot and muggy? Since you're right on the water?
No. It does get warm. Like these 3 days I had my first guest this season, it was the sun is very intense. The weather is active. I mean, I was just telling a friend in the last few days, you really start to understand what they mean by the Pacific Ocean. This one is anything but calm. It's an active ocean. It's stormy, it's temperamental, muggy, maybe sometimes it's foggy most mornings. It takes a little bit of time for the fog to lift. Right now, the weather's still nice, but I think, like I was mentioning to you before we started the recording, it had just started to rain. And these are the first rains of the season, but they're going to pick up. So probably in another few weeks, the weather will not be as lovely as it's been all summer.
It'll be the rainy season.
Yeah. And just the last few days when I was walking on the beach here, because there's a couple of restaurants on the cliff that I walk to from here where I like to eat, you couldn't see many people on the beach anymore. But the week prior, it was packed. So it's almost like that was August, and this week was already a few days into September, and officially people have shifted behavior.
Right.
It's like they all got the memo.
Yeah.
Summer's over.
Time to get out.
Yeah, time to leave. The winters here are wintry. Lots of rain, lots of wind. Some people do not like Ericeira because of the wind. I at first was a little taken aback by the wind, like the amount of wind. Now I think I'm kind of accustomed to it. Like, you know, when you first notice something because it's different, I was obsessed with it. And now it's like second nature. I don't notice it.
Right.
We'll see this winter. You asked me after the winter.
So how cold does it get?
I don't know, like 50 something. I'm a baby because I came from California. Remember, yeah. I can't handle much cold.
Right, me too.
We're I'm
spoiled.
In Phoenix. We are. Oh my God, it's cold.
Anything under 70 or 70
yeah,
for
like,
me.
How cold is it? 52. Oh, please.
Right.
Do you need a jacket?
Meanwhile, people from New York are in shorts and we're like in parkas.
Yeah, we exaggerate. And then the homes here, something unique, which my friend who visited just kind of pointed out again, is we have electric shutter. At least my home does. Because my home was built brand new, meaning the structure on the outside wasn't changed, but the insides were gutted in its entirety. The home I ended up buying from the friend of the friend who knew the developer and the architect, they gutted the interior. So everything was built from scratch. And the construction was underway when I saw the home. So I got to pick some of the fixtures and what have you. But it has electrical shutters. So what that does is it really protects you from the elements. It also gives you like this very peaceful rest because that means it shuts out the sun.
Yeah.
It shuts out the rain. It shuts out the wind.
That's
so
cool.
It can be pouring down and you're going to shut those down every evening. It also...
Is that on the outside of the home or the inside?
Mm-hmm,
it's
the
on
outside.
The outside?
Yep.
Wow.
And every night, that's like I have these little rituals to let the dog out and da-da-da.
Close
and
then the shutters.
I close them. Yeah, I close them. It also protects against theft. And my friend said, so how safe is it? I said, you know, I've been hearing because... There's hardly any violence here. I think I've heard of one gunshot wound in the whole year on the news, in the whole year. And, you know, I hear the news in the States
that's
and I grab my
good.
Hair.
Oh, yeah.
It's like one, maybe there was more than one, but that's all I heard, one. But here in Ericeira, I heard that people were stealing bicycles in Ericeira, but more in the center. So I'm off center by a few blocks. So here nothing happens. So I'll tell you because I'm getting older. This is like admitting to your public. I left the back door open the other night. And I said, oh my God, Roxana, you got to be a little more careful. Completely unlocked, not open, but unlocked. And I have a Bianchi road bike. I have an electric bike and I have just a $300-$400 bike downstairs. And my friend said, and you also have like the wine cooler. They could have taken all three bikes and a couple of bottles of wine to celebrate Roxana. I said, yeah. And then the next day I left the front door a crack open. That's how, like, I'm so relaxed because life is so relaxing here. I said, oh my God, what am I doing? One night the back door, one night the front door. Nothing happened. But you don't want to bet on keeping making these stupid mistakes.
Right. But how wonderful does that feel, though? You know, and
it's
how
unbelievable.
How comfortable not just knowing that, oh my God, I'm in a safe place. That means so much, you know?
Can you believe that crap, though? My memory sucks. I got to start taking some vitamins.
Look at us all. same.
No,
same
I
here.
Know, but I'm getting up there, right? A 57. I have a birthday at the end of the year.
You're a baby.
But that's an example of my state of relaxation. When people see, oh, you look so relaxed. Well, I'd also, this is part of it. I don't need to work as much. When work started taking a hit with the pandemic, because let's face it, executive coaching, totally optional. Leadership development, nice to have. It's not a requirement. Mm-hmm. So when people think of those fields and people are looking at what do we need to do to keep this business afloat, is it a necessity? Absolutely not. Do we like to invest in that in our people when we have an option? Yes, mm-hmm. but we don't need it. And so when I was hit with like, oh, let's let go of the coaching, let's let go of this, let's go of that. And some businesses now are starting, because I can hear the conversations, that some of my clients are doing layoffs again. Mm-hmm. Luckily, it hasn't impacted coaching yet. But those are usually precursors too.
Right.
The beauty of living here is I need half, probably less than half of what I was using in the States. And that's without looking at my budget at all. That's without tightening anything. And so what do I do when I come here? I pay cash for a home. I pay cash for a luxury car. Could I do that in the States? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm. Right. Especially California.
No, I couldn't. So that means that everything else is like, okay, do I need that or don't I need that? Because food is a fraction of what you guys pay over there. Because mm-hmm. I was just there in May and I'm like, what do you want for dinner? I'm like, an entree was like, how much for a full? Like, I couldn't believe the prices. And I just, it's not like I don't go that frequently. I'm going again next year. I'm going to Buenos Aires again too. I can't believe the prices.
But it's over shock, there. Yeah.
See, I say over there, like, I don't know, like, there is where I lived.
Right.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here, I can tell you where you can have a lunch with fish, a soup entree, a dessert, a coffee where my friend lives for like 10 euros.
Menu del dia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something, you know, menu of the day.
Yeah, or a Thai restaurant I know in Parque Desna Sounds. Also, like 10 euros with miso soup entree. I mean, it's not something fancy, but yes, you can.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, and a glass of wine or coffee or
that one didn't have beer. Wine, but the other one, no, that one was just like water or something. But yeah, this is like the biggest consumer of wine. I think it's 71 liters a person. It's so inexpensive. You get
I know, it's like water. You can get water. You can get wine cheaper than water.
Yeah, true.
That's like Spain too.
Yeah. Here probably even less. Yeah.
Yeah.
And amazing at that.
So everything is pretty much walking, the beaches, Center City, like the town area is walkable.
Very.
From your place.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Do you find a large expat community there?
Very.
Okay.
Yeah. And they've gotten organized, have meetups. They just had one on the 30th that I missed because I had clients on either side of that meetup schedule. But they'll get together to go to the local concerts. Some like go to each other's birthdays. Some I see not only get together at the local beaches and celebrate birthdays in towns, but then they also go to events in Lisbon. So since they started going to some meetups here, they have spinoffs of groups of people. I've been on hikes with some of them. I mean, I used to do more. I'm just starting to get a better feel for the Ericeira groups. I used to do more just with the general LGBT groups
right. Out
of Lisbon. Mm-hmm. I think in part because I had delays in my house being finished. So all my connections for a while were with the LGBT community in Lisbon. And then it Lisbon is so much fun. It took me a while to transition to Ericeira. You know, it was like, okay, let go, let go of that group.
Let's talk a little bit about that and the expat community. Do you feel like the locals are getting priced out all over Portugal because of the influx of expats coming from everywhere?
I think the locals can't afford, there's a problem with affordability. I don't think it's related to the expats. I think the expats are receiving an unfair share of the blame. And I don't know that it belongs there. I think the government, their government isn't doing enough for them. I think it's unfair to blame the expats. Why? Because this is like a macroeconomic issue. There, like, I hear so many different figures floated. First of all, like, the Americans, I think, only constitute like 1% of the immigrant population. The largest group of immigrants are, I believe, Brazilians. Then maybe there's like a big group of French, other groups that are here like Dutch. There's a sizable group of Italians and Chinese and other groups. Americans are not the biggest group, but maybe we spend more, you know, and maybe that's why, or we get charged more. There's like a different spin on it. We get targeted in part two because it's like, let me look at you and let me figure out how much I'm going to charge you for the house. I don't know. There are different prices for different for groups, different, it seems.
Yeah, that seems a little unfair.
It's unfair. It's like you have to really navigate the system. I would navigate with a local person to the best of your ability. But are they priced out? Absolutely. Because prices are going through the roof. I mean, if something that Portugal can take credit, I don't know how the heck they keep going up in price where Spain can't do it. I have friends in the south of France that are American. They did not, they paid so much less for their home than I did. And they have a national forest in front of their home. They have a swimming pool. They have also like 5 bedrooms, 5 bathrooms with private like suite. They have a lot, but it's super remote. But right. They have an amazing home.
Yeah, it seems like, I mean, people move in and the price of real estate goes up because supply and demand, there's hardly any, you know, real estate left except for new builds, which is driving prices up, which make it harder for the locals to afford housing. So it seems like it's a concern.
And there's another issue, which a friend shared with me. There are a lot of homes that are available and not available. So some people are holding on to their homes and they won't rent them for many different reasons. So they're not made available to the public, either because they're not in the proper conditions to be rented out, or because there's so much bureaucracy involved and owners are not properly incentivized to rent out because of the high taxes.
Yeah.
So, you know, the way they get taxed, owners rather not rent than rent. So they rather leave it vacant. And that's how archaic maybe some would view the tax. So you might read an article that says something like there are over 40,000 vacant units in Portugal. At the same time, there's no supply.
Right. That's weird.
There's a lot of strangeness in the system going on. And then there are things where...
And there's Airbnbs too.
Then there's that. Right. And they're trying to curtail like the number of licenses that are approved.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like now people are asking easily like 2,000. Well, if my salary is like 1,200, I'm just making this up.
Right.
There's no way I'm gonna come up with $2,000.
Right. How am I gonna rent an apartment?
And so, and if I'm just making this up, 27, and I have a professional degree, I'm gonna go to Germany or I'm gonna go to Netherlands to work because mm-hmm. yeah. I'm gonna get maybe 5,000 or 6,000 euros just right out the bat. And why would I stay here and make 35?
Right. Yeah.
And so there is a brain drain. And, you know, I mean, they were welcoming foreigners with the D7 visa and other, right. and other yeah. visas and the digital nomad visas because they don't have anybody. And then you have an elderly population like everywhere else. Right. But I think Portugal is doing well in the sense that properties are gaining in value, but they have some damn archaic, they are not business savvy at all. Mm. And someone that's been here 30 years that I met online, member of the LGBT community, said they really incentivize you not to make money. It's like they turn you off of work.
Hmm.
You know, and this is my first year paying taxes and I'm trying now, you know, to figure out, do I continue to work or not? Is the country lovely? Absolutely. But it really much depends on your conditions. It's best almost to come when you have no work left.
Right.
Because otherwise.
As a retiree.
Oh, yeah. Because I have to figure it out. I really love what I do. But it almost is like, oh, it's going to cost me. How much is this costing me to do what I love?
I thought you get a 10-year tax incentive.
You do. You do. And it depends. It's a big, okay, the NHR, the non-habitual tax residency, is an offer. And I, you know, the big thing I'll say is it behooves everyone to apply. And then you can inform yourself based on your specific conditions, if you should avail yourself of the benefit it offers you or not. Because in some cases, depending on your pension and if you were in the military or different things that may apply to you and your partner, it may behoove you to take it or not. Mm. But if you don't apply, you know, for example, just in the last 2 years, they start taxing our Social Security. So if we had moved here 3 years prior, wow. there was zero tax. So now I understand, if I'm not mistaken, that under just the Social Security portion of it, France may be a better option if wow. we're looking at distribution. So for me, it's like, okay, let me look at, I have maybe 8 years on this plan. All things being equal, is it still going to be in my benefit later right. or not? And I think a lot of people want to stay because they love it. There's a lot to love. The bureaucracy is not one of them. And I've been extremely lucky with the house. I'm very good at paperwork. I got through a lot of it. But I think I mentioned to you last time, getting my license because I did it their way. Mm-hmm. Without any special favors, took me 1 year and 9 months.
Yeah.
That it shouldn't have to be that hard.
Right. To get a license.
A driver's license. I'm right. not a pilot license. Right. Just a driver's license.
Oh, God. All right. So, do you feel that there are enough people in your town or in Portugal that speak English?
Absolutely.
There are so...
They're so well-versed.
You wouldn't
more
have
than any other European country. That was a surprise to me.
That's what I hear.
Absolutely. And they don't speak it like a little bit well. They speak it extremely well.
So you wouldn't have a problem, God forbid, you have to go to the hospital and see a doctor or have surgery. They'll know what you're talking about or they'll talk to you in English?
I don't have a problem. And I've also learned Portuguese. I mean, just the other day I went to see a neurologist that I have a lot of headaches. And my Portuguese was good enough. I was talking to him in Portuguese about my headaches.
That's great.
So that's why I know I've mastered enough Portuguese to have a conversation about my pain and the history of my pain and the results of my MRI. I said, hey, you forgot to mention my MRI. what you say about that anomaly in my MRI.
Wow.
You know, so yeah, they do. And sometimes, even when they don't speak it, they don't initiate, they speak it. And they learn from watching TV because everything here is
captioned,
subtitled, but it's always spoken in the English. So their English is amazing. Even the butcher. One day I was at the store. I was talking to this guy who happened to be from Argentina. And this other one just started speaking perfect English. I said, what'd you learn? He said, the movies.
Wow.
Everybody.
Oh, I like Portugal now.
Everybody. The butcher. The bus driver. The doctor.
Wow.
I mean, it's across professional levels.
I didn't know it was so much.
Across professional levels.
Wow. That's incredible.
And to me, that's very impressive. And there's no that like arrogance you sometimes find in other countries. I'm not going to name them, but I think you know which ones I'm talking about. If you've been to Europe, the Spanish, not so much. They're more like in love with their own language.
Mm-hmm.
French, similar thing. But here, the level of fluency is extremely high. And like the person I dated here, they spoke a little bit of Italian, Portuguese, Spanish extremely well, and English pretty well. It was pretty impressive.
So
date in the U.S. is they speak one language.
One language, right. English or Spanish.
Yeah, if that. Yeah.
Right. So if you go for citizenship, I know that you have to immerse yourself in these classes.
I took them.
And
I already passed them. So,
oh, okay. So you're good.
Yeah, I'm eager beaver, right? So I did that quickly. All you need is an A2. I passed it at a B1 level. I could have gone to the next level, but I was taking classes in Lisbon because they were in the day. And all you need is an A2, which is pretty basic. It's not that difficult. And there are a lot of it was easier for me because of the Spanish, but it was tough. But a lot of people do well. So I see a lot of people who struggle because it isn't an easy language.
Right.
I'll say that. It isn't easy. But a lot of people have fun with it. You know, it's like there's a lot. When you come here, it's like you're on vacation, right? Because everything's so pretty. There's a lot of history. Like, I remember my first couple of hikes with the LGBT group. It was so amazing because there's all this beautiful nature. But we'd go to places like the convent in Tamar, and there was a castle and a convent and a trip on a train that took us into this historical place that was from the 1300s.
Wow.
And then we go to the Alentejo, and we're on this coastline. And everything is like such an adventure. So, and then you're just in Lisbon, but the tile is like so gorgeous. I just happen to love the architecture here.
Mm-hmm.
So anything for me here is like being in all this wonder. And then you go to some of the bars here that are just so beautiful, like they're breathtaking. But I happen to be from Buenos Aires, where the architecture is just as beautiful. So it's in a sensibility I have for beautiful architecture and history and all that, that here you're immersed in it.
Right.
So imagine going to school and they're teaching you about the poet. So the teacher doesn't just teach you how to speak. They're like, let's talk about Fernando Pessoa, right? And then I happen to go on a walk here in Ericeira, and his poems are distributed along the coastline. So it's a very poetic kind of town, you know? Like even
That's
when you
cool.
go for exercise, you get some poetry.
That's cool. Absolutely. Okay, so people could go and get by with their English. Of course, it's good to learn Portuguese.
In main towns, maybe.
Right.
And I don't know, like, if people would like to go to the outskirts. My understanding is if you go further out, which some people like to be in more remote areas and farm areas, they would need to speak Portuguese.
Portuguese.
They shouldn't.
That's
explore
understandable.
Without a good knowledge of Portuguese.
That's understandable. So since you're so close to Lisbon, I was always told that the people in Lisbon compared to the people in Porto are, the people in Porto are more laid back and they say, quote unquote, nicer. Do you find that, at all being close to Lisbon, that they're rushed and hurried, and are they nicer, you think, in Porto or by you, since you're not right in the city?
You know what? I've heard that anecdotally as well. I don't know. I think I would just know it the way you do, because I've only been to Porto like a tourist as well. I haven't spent much time. In fact, the times I've been to Oporto, I've been as a tourist. Mm-hmm. Like when I came from the US, I've been to Oporto, I've been to wine tastings. I have not visited since I've moved here. Since I moved here, I've only been to Alentejo as a tourist, to Comporta, which is a beautiful place to go visit. It's in the Alentejo. I've been to the Algarve since I moved here, but not to Oporto. I think that's true. I think I see this in the driving. The aggressive driving is very aggressive, which is why I bought a little SUV. Because I go, when I get hit someday, I'm going to be protected. But so far, knock on wood, it hasn't happened. Having said that, overall, the people here couldn't be any kinder. I mean, what you call aggressive, by what I see in the U.S., I mean, people here are so damn nice.
Wow.
I'll give you an example. When I moved here, I was spending a lot of time at my friend's house because my house was under construction. So I was taking care of my friend's house, and she's across the Tejo River. And I was taking care of her house while my house was being built. And I remember buying a lot of supplies because she didn't have a broom. And I'm like, yeah, I was playing house at her house. And I remember I was going into this very teeny little store that was like, it looked like a Chinese store, you know, like $1, $1 for everything, $1 for the broom, $1 for the soap, $1. And somehow she also had vegetables or whatever. And I went into the store so often that the town leader was happy, because every day I'd come in and I'd like buy like, I don't know, 10, 15 euros worth of products. So one day she said to me, I want to make you my curry dish. Would you like that? I mean, this is like day three of me coming into the store.
That's so funny.
And my friend's in the US and I'm there alone and I hardly speak anything, right? Because I just got there with Riley, my dog. I'm like, yes. I don't like curry, by the way, but I'm like, I'm not going to say no.
Right.
I said, yes. She says, well, bring me a tupper. Did she ask me to bring her? I think she just brought me something. She said, I'm going to bring you, come tomorrow at around this time. I'm going to bring you something. She made me food. I'm like her customer.
Yeah. You would, like, where would you find that here in the US?
I don't know, but I was in love with this whole thing. I was like, you got to be kidding. You're making me food? And I'm like,
and I'm spending money at your store.
I'm like, I'm coming back every day. Like, what are you going to make me next week? No, it was like, I was so floored. I'm like, I had to tell my friend. I said, do you know the lady there? I don't know what else to buy because she doesn't have that much. Right? Like, should I buy one of those liquors? I have no idea what it is or what it tastes like. But at least that looks more expensive because I keep buying the $1 of this and that fruit. She was so amazing.
That's so nice.
But that's an example. And then I've heard of stories where people find you on the road and they're eating something and they'll give you like a piece, like a half of their sandwich or something because they found you on the road. And this lady, which I found with my girlfriend when they were walking, they stopped to talk to us and they said, do you want water for your dog? And they start a whole conversation and they're giving us pails of water from across the wall. And then all of a sudden we're talking with them for 20 minutes. We're going to a wine tasting party. We had to go back and drop off the dog because we came with a dog. I take my dog everywhere. He wasn't allowed. And I'm like, wow, Meg, should we go? It's getting late. Should we leave? I mean, they're so present is the word. You know, it's a word that comes up a lot in coaching. so present, so with you, so connected.
That's so nice.
And to me, that so when you talk about, are they warmer? So that's like the baseline of people in Portugal.
Yeah. So
you may never see them again because they're also very reserved. So they spend most of their time with their own family and friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when they're with you for that moment, they're with
you. You're like family.
They're with you.
So speaking of dog, your dog, can you explain a little bit about how you relocated the doggy with you? Did he come on the plane? Did you have to send them like separately on a courier service?
No. In my case, no.
Is he small?
He's small and he's since lost some weight. So Riley was 8 kilos at the time, so like 17 pounds. Bigger dogs do require maybe some people like hire separate planes or separate services. You do need like a pet passport and a lot of paperwork from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. It is an involved process, meaning there are certain steps and rabies vaccines that you need to do within like 10 days prior to the departure. It's very, like some steps are time, like exactly within 10 days you have to. You used to do it in person. Now it's all done by mail. Right as I was coming, it had shifted. So it's a little more automated now. You could do it by mail. But not all vets do this paperwork. So finding the vets that do it is half the problem, or I would say problem, the opportunity, half the challenge to find a vet that actually does the paperwork. It's manageable, but it's tedious because here you are, like I shipped my belongings. That was quite the nightmare, but I'm glad I did. So when you're almost done and like it's such an exhausting process of all these details, now add the dog with all its little paperwork.
Right.
He does require a pet passport. Luckily, Portugal does not have any kind of quarantine. So Riley was able to travel with me. Of course, there's a fee for his flight.
Did he travel with you, like in the seat or... below.
He was under the seat, which he does not like. He looked like he was in a washing machine and kicking for quite a number of hours. From a practical standpoint, if you think your dog would like to be relieving himself midway, it's best to go through New York or New Jersey if you're flying from the States, like especially the West Coast. If you're already coming from New York, it's a lot easier. Mm-hmm. But if you're coming from the West Coast, so that it's 6 hours and 6 hours.
Yeah.
So just from a practical standpoint, that's the best way to do it. But he was in cabin. If they're bigger, they have to go under.
Under, yeah.
And then some people charter their own flights, I understand. Yeah. I don't know what that cost.
Did it cost a lot just to bring them on board with you?
Cost?
Yeah.
No. I think a couple hundred, and then a couple hundred also to the vet, and then a couple hundred, I guess it adds up, and then a couple hundred to the USDA, and then you have to pay for FedEx. So it gets to be a little tedious. Like now he's coming with me to Italy, because I think I mentioned to you I have to spend a few months there getting my Italian citizenship. Oh, but from Rome, I could.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. But it's like 12 hours. Oh. From Rome to Sicily, which is where I'm ending. We might do it on the way back, but on the way there, we're taking two flights. But yeah, he doesn't like going under the seats, but go explain that to the airline staff.
Right.
Yeah, that's where he has to go.
Okay, it's good. It's good to know. A lot of people take their pets with them.
A lot of people do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I ever move there, I have two of them. So, and they're not that small.
Oh, they're not?
No, one's a 80-pound lab, lab, and the other one's a Sheltie. He's about 25, 30 pounds.
So. Oh, you might need your own plane.
Yeah, I know. They're a handful. So is living in an LGBTQ community important to you? I know that, I guess there isn't such a thing in Ericeira.
No.
So,
and anywhere really.
So
a lot of people ask that. Yeah, there aren't like gay neighborhoods here. People kind of just blend in.
How about in Lisbon?
Oh, there. Neither. No.
No.
No. I think like Barrio Alto might have more. It used to be Príncipe Real, but there aren't like neighborhoods.
I guess people don't care.
Well, we're everywhere.
Right.
And there's more blending, and people here are not out.
Oh, really?
They're on the DL, you know, like,
really?
They're not really out. In fact, I recently was chatting with a writer, a gay writer that's visiting from the States, and he was sharing with me that the men he met here, none of them are out.
Really? What? That would, I don't know. How do you feel about that?
As someone who lived in a town where everybody's out.
Right. You come from California and New York. Right. And it's like, I'm not going back in the closet.
Well, in New York, I was a child, you know, but it's hard. It's hard in a sense, like, when I've asked the lesbians I knew, like, my first year here, I go, oh, the pandemic is over. They're having a Pride Festival. Are you going? Like, here I'm like, I'm so happy to be in Portugal. Celebrate my first Pride. It was like, celebrate Pride. It was so bad for the economy. All the, you know, they were looking at it from the perspective of what COVID did to the economy. It was such a somber point of view. And I was like, okay, you know, I guess I brought up a sore subject. And it's like, don't ask, don't tell, like in the military. And I'm
oh, boy. Yeah, I don't want to go back to that. I feel like that was me at work back in the 80s
and
70s.
But let me tell you, it's interesting because this town is comprised of people from all over. So you have, like, my trainer is from Ukraine. Her partner is Russian. They're happy as heck to be here. They just got married, right? And when I walk on the street, I see a lot of people, young people from all over, LGBT. So it attracts. And then there's like the digital nomads, you know, LGBT and otherwise. When I go on a hike, like, and they say, where are you from? They're like from everywhere.
Everywhere.
And so that's very, to me, very refreshing because I was like, I identify with people from all over the globe. They're all very happy to be here. It feels very peaceful here. And all those people are definitely out, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's the locals who are like a little more on a need-to-know basis. So they might be out to their families, right? It's not like they're hiding it from their family.
Right.
But they're not broadcasting it to their neighbors.
And these are the locals, okay.
And from what I've seen, they're not like, for example, in my neighborhood, my building where I used to live, it was like, was it half the building felt gay? Like there were like three or four lesbian or lesbian couples, maybe four or five gay couples, and the rest were straight. So it felt like very balanced. I call that balance.
Balance, right.
I call that a balanced building. So it felt very normal to, hey, how's your boyfriend? How's it? Because, you know, and then you go down the street and like I was a block from the gay parade, like in Long Beach, like the party came to my house because it was like headquarters. Right.
Yeah.
You know, so here, the other day I saw a flag in Ediceta, LGBT flag. I said, oh, a flag. Like I said to my friend, I go, that's the first time I saw an LGBT flag. How refreshing. So I don't know, you know, I think the outsiders are out. The outsiders, meaning the people arriving, are all out and very comfortable.
Right, and the locals and they're are a little shy.
Not, yeah, and they're, it's not like they're not with their partners, but they're not shouting off the roof of,
right,
you know,
buildings.
The way we do.
Right.
The way we don't care.
Right. Okay.
So I think it's probably in a state of evolution if you know, like they're mixing with our energy that may help them feel more at ease with their identity.
Yeah.
But yeah, they feel comfortable just being without any labels. I don't know.
Gotcha. Are there any gay bars?
Yeah.
There are?
And all over Lisbon.
Also,
Óbidos, I'm considered part of the Silver Coast. And yes, there are groups of LGBT all along the Silver Coast as well. I don't know of any like specific like call out gay bar in Mafra, Ericeira, but certainly Lisbon, Silver Coast.
Probably Porto too.
Porto, yes. Porto, yes.
Gotcha. Maybe not so much in the Algarve. I think that's more...
Algarve, I think there is too, because at some point I remember being on some kind of LGBT list there, and there's got to be a list. And like I have friends that are moving from someone I worked with that's moving there. So I have a sense there must be a handful, like a sprinkling. It's more like a sprinkling than a big number.
Gotcha. Tell us about the local economy. Can you provide examples of housing costs these days? I know it's always changing. So you have any idea of purchasing how much would be like a 2-bedroom, 2-bath home or condo?
In Ericeira?
Yeah.
Roughly, because I think I looked last time we spoke, you know, I went to the downtown area. It fluctuates, but I think something 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom, maybe 450, maybe 5. It depends. It varies. On my block, what you see is still a lot of construction. So when I look down the block, well, there's like a whole development coming up. It's probably halfway completed. On this block, there's like 5 new homes coming up, plus a whole new development. And that's just in this block. And that's if I go down that way, there's another 7-8 homes under construction. Before I hit the end of the road, there's another what looked like 5 more units. I mean, like I can probably
wherever they
count,
could stick something.
I could probably count 30 home brand new. So brand new, entire brand new homes in a very small, like 1 kilometer radius. I had a crane outside my window and I kept saying, please, please, I don't want to look at a crane anymore for over a year and a half. I'm like, when's a crane going away from my window? It's like killing my view of the ocean. I said, please, just this one crane. But like my photographer friend, she has a construction bar. That's just my street. So behind her, there's another construction of another 8 units. Just to give you like the density of the construction going on.
Right. There's a lot
just
going
in Ericeira.
Wow.
If that would be interesting to go into Mafra and see like how many licenses are being requested. I know that when I was looking at Mafra, I said, which one appreciates better? They said, you know, Ericeira because of the beach. It costs like 100,000 more than Mafra because Mafra doesn't have a beach. But I thought, oh, what do I care? You know, because it's like if I want to stretch my dollar, I thought I could easily live in Mafra because in Mafra you have more space. So for me, visually, I found that attractive because there's a lot of density here. So in summer, I have an e-bike and I thought you almost can't ride your car into town because it's like bumper to bumper. They're like so much traffic because you have all the surfers going.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of also like yoga, retreats. So you asked about the economy too. There are a lot of digital nomads. A lot of people here, definitely focused on their business, not just the surfing.
Are utilities a lot of money?
The electricity's high.
Electricity, gas, water, phone, internet.
Water's, yeah, not too bad. But yeah, the electricity is probably the highest bill you're going to pay. But like considering I have four stories, I don't think it goes past like 85 euros.
Wow. And you have four stories.
Yeah.
That's a lot of stories. We discussed that before.
Yeah, I get a lot of exercise. So does Riley, because he, even though he's 14, he follows me up and down those stairs. I said, Riley, are you going to follow me again? Okay, mm-hmm. Let's go.
Yep, let's do it.
Yeah, he follows me. But yeah, electricity is high. And then the other thing to keep in mind about Portugal, not just Ericeira, for people considering Portugal, is the mold, the need for dehumidifiers in the homes, the way they construct homes is pretty unique. I don't know. They struggle with the construction. So
do you have air conditioning?
I have central air and heat. I have units in every floor, so I can control it that way. But I had to buy dehumidifiers because I found I didn't know I was supposed to air my rooms, and one day I looked at my shoes, I turned them around, and it had a hole. I said, what? What's this? And so I had to take everything out of my closets. I did that just a few months ago and wipe everything down, and then I bought dehumidifiers for all the rooms, and everything's been under control since. But that was like a rough lesson, because imagine, like,
you don't want mold.
I moved everything in, but it was like spring cleaning. I got a little exercise that way. And I now empty out the water of the dehumidifiers every day. So it's like part of the house maintenance. I get a lot of exercise that way, especially on the top floor. Now I'm like, oh, I have to go out and check on the water and empty it out. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
But it gives me a ritual. You know, I take it as a ritual.
Right.
In older homes, that can be a problem. And I brought a brand new home, and it's still a problem.
Yeah.
The older getting homes. Someone to construct a home well and asking very detailed questions about mold is highly advisable. Right. And coming from California, I never had to deal with this. So
right.
We wouldn't know anything about this.
Right.
We don't know anything about this on the West Coast U.S.
Right, exactly. Know? Exactly. Okay. How about internet bills or phone bills? Are they cheap, expensive? Or
I don't know. What are they in the States? It's very normal. 40-something for the phone, unless I go to the U.S. and then have surprise roaming charges, which I keep an eye on my bills. And internet, let me look. Not too bad. It's, everything's pretty low.
And groceries, are low. Cost of living
groceries, well, yeah, a couple hundred a month, maybe 300.
That's not bad.
Yeah. The big difference, I think I mentioned to you last time, Mark, I was used to buying American style. Like, I go to the market every 3 weeks or so. Have to buy every few days because the food is so fresh. Even the dog food goes bad after a few days.
Yeah.
If I open it, it's got to be consumed in a short...
Within a couple of days.
Oh, my God. That is like such a hard lesson. I go, this went bad? It doesn't last
just
long.
Bought it.
Yeah. So that was a hard lesson. The food here is extremely fresh. It tastes great. But this thing that you're going to fill the fridge and go once a month or once every 3 weeks.
No,
and
you can't do that.
And there's a I call it efficient. Like, I like to do things once.
Right.
And not repeat them, like a batch processor I am.
Right. Yep.
I'm done, and I'll redo this activity in many, many days.
Right.
I can't do it. Like today, I was going to make some kind of Italian dish with some red wine for dinner, and like started pouring. I'm like, oh shit, I got to go to the market to finish my, it's because I wanted like something to make with the pasta. And I'm like, I don't feel like going to the store. So now I have to think about it. do I want that ingredient bad enough to go?
Right, to go out.
Because I do not have it.
Yeah.
So these are the things.
It's different that it's the culture.
It's a culture.
It's a culture shock.
It's a culture shock.
It's one of the culture shocks. And but people it's the go freshness. Through culture shock.
But let me tell you an advantage. There's a big barn in the center of Ericeira. And in the center of Ericeira, like many other centers of town, there's something called Mercato. In the Mercato, they have like fresh veggies Monday through Friday or Saturday even. And they have all this fresh fish that looks like it was just in the water a few hours ago.
Yeah, I believe
and the
it
veggies and flowers even. So imagine going there to pick a fish that's so fresh you could smell.
It just came out of the water, right. There's nothing.
To me, that's priceless, right? Yeah. And if you're with
and
your
it's
loved
so healthy
ones,
too.
Your partner or friends, and you can say, look, I look at this fresh fish and I'm going to make you pasta with that or this beautiful salad and some nice wine. To me, that's
great.
Priceless.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I'm coming over.
Yeah, right? Come on over.
I'm coming over. How about arts and culture? Do you have any in Ericeira?
Our little Ericeira. Thank you for asking. Just like 2 weeks ago, I think it was I'm a big soccer fan. During the semifinals of the World Cup, I missed the grand opening, but we have our new art center. And we have a lot of talented local artists whose work I see on Facebook, and now they have a home. So we have a lot of great artists. I mentioned our own photographer here, my neighbor Robin, her photography, but now we have other artists, and now they have a home.
Wow.
There's an art center in town that now has a home.
That's great.
So I think the town is evolving. So a lot of the people whose art is in the art center are many of these people from New York and other places who are moving here, and they get to showcase their art there. So I think that's wonderful. It's their exhibit just opened up during the semifinals of the World Cup. I only happen to know because I'm a big fanatic, and it goes through the end of the year, and that's just brand new.
Wow.
So that's a big plus, I think.
If you wanted live theater, do you have any live theater or is it community?
They have just community theater. For theater, I say Lisbon.
You have to go to Lisbon.
I do.
Which is not bad. Do you have a train that goes from Ericeira to Lisbon?
No, that's a big omission.
No, they got to work.
They're going to make a connection to a train, the nearest connection to a train. They do have a bus from Ericeira to Lisbon. The shortest duration is like 40 minutes, 45 minutes, which isn't bad. Like when they do the speed, like without a lot of stops, when they stop in every corner, it's an hour and a half. I don't recommend it. But they're going to make a metro stop at a nearer stop, but that's going to take a few years.
Yeah.
I think I was surprised to learn that the freeway was only extended out this way in 2011. So think about it. Not that long ago.
Right.
So I wouldn't be surprised if in a few more years they extend the metro all the way here. That would be a game changer.
Oh, yeah.
Because if Ericeira had a metro,
it'd get more crowded.
It might. It might make the town implode. Might be the end of Ericeira.
So how about food, restaurants? Does Ericeira have good restaurants, or do you have to go into Lisbon?
No, I never go to Lisbon when I want to eat in town. There's some amazing restaurants right here. I never make it past my favorite two on the coast, just like that I walk. It takes me no more than 7 minutes to get to those restaurants. But there's some further in. There's also like...
What kind of food?
Seafood. My favorite is Mediterranean.
I love Mediterranean. Just seafood and fresh.
Yeah, the chef at my favorite restaurant is Balogun. The owner's German. The chef there is Brazilian. The one next door over is amazing seafood, and it's right over a cliff. It's very raw because it's very simple, but very raw. You're right out overlooking the cliff. The seafood is amazing. And I never get past those two. It's like, I don't have to.
Right.
But there are amazing restaurants in town. Sometimes I go further, like that mom I mentioned, whose daughters connected me to their architect and the developer. Yesterday, I took my friend to my favorite bakery. I said, you gotta see this place. I said, these people are on the side of a road. And I said, Kim, is my car sticking out on the side of the road? She goes, you're so funny. You're worried about your car sticking out. These people are parking on the road because they take it like it's a private street. Okay. These folks cook the bread with firewood. And I said, they make the best, most yummy bread with nuts and raisins and little pieces, like the most subtle taste of chocolate. Oh, it's like a sweet bread. And it's like, and they do it like fire roasted. And I said, why don't you take some? She was headed to the Azores to do some work with some friends. I said, take it to your group. And then she saw a pizza there this big. And she, I said, do you want some food for your trip? Because she was leaving at 3:30 in the morning. She goes, how about pizza? So she grabbed like a whole pizza. I said, okay, anything else? She says, what about that chocolate croissant? I mean, amazing.
Brazilian bakeries. I mean, I only know of one in Provincetown, Massachusetts. There's this huge, well-known Brazilian bakery that they make this unbelievable bread. And it's just, or it's Portuguese. Portuguese?
Is it like pão com queijo?
I don't know what it is, but it's awesome. I think it's a Portuguese bakery instead of Brazilian. I didn't mean to say Brazilian.
They also had the typical bread here is pão com chorizo. You know, they embed the bread with chorizo, which is typical here.
Yeah.
And then they had chorizo with queijo, with cheese, and they even had bacon. She didn't want any of that, but they have all these things. And your eyes just pop out of your head when you're looking at this. And I mean, I took a picture of her. She was like, had a mountain of things. I said, you're leaving tomorrow. I said, I can freeze some because she's coming back on the 10th before she leaves for the state.
Then I've seen these pastries. They look like little tarts. I forget
what they're. Yeah, pastéis de nata.
That's it. You could say it, I can't. But they
Those
look awesome
here.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like all over.
Yeah. It's like you've been here. I'm surprised she didn't buy any because I never did take her to Belém. The pastéis de Belém are the most famous. But yeah, she loved it. I mean, and we met a couple, I think from Australia that moved there. She goes, not even the locals know about this place. It's so special. She goes, can you imagine this place in New York? It would be swarming with people because, and most days that bakery opens at 9 p.m. and it works till 2 in the morning.
Wow. Whew.
Yeah, but on Saturday, we were able to go after 4 o'clock.
And that's another thing. Your meal time is like Spain's, right?
Yeah.
So
my friend
late.
Didn't care for my meal time.
It's late.
It's later and later and later.
It's like 9 is early, 10,
yes.
11.
Yeah.
Okay, so
exactly.
You have to get used to that.
And, or not.
Do they have siesta in the afternoon? Like,
yes,
did they close?
Many places, so restaurants, like the one I mentioned, sometimes their last lunch serving is 3, and then they'll resume starting at 7.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So that's so sort of important to remember when you're visiting as a tourist or even like people, a lot of people here scouting right now.
Yeah.
I just got a call yesterday or today again from someone who's considering moving here. Make sure you get in your meal by 3.
Do you drink wine?
I do. I have one open right there.
So I know a bottle is pretty inexpensive, right?
Yeah. You can get amazing wines for €2, believe it or not. 3.
For a bottle?
A bottle. A whole bottle. And then you can go up to 10. And you can go up to 20.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. That's probably amazing, amazing.
Yeah, I have my favorite places in Lisbon to pick up wine. Yeah, if you're paying 30, you're really splurging. I mean, I used to pay $50 all the time for a good bottle in California.
Yeah.
I don't do that anymore.
Yeah. Even here, I've gone to the lower end, but the lower end in Portugal is not the same as the lower end here. So
2 and 3. And then there are people that have, like, some gay guys I follow on Facebook that know their wine. And there's one in particular who came after I did. He's in Oporto and he knows his wine. And when he says this one's good and it happens to be cheap, I make a note. I have a section on my iPhone and I go, he gave another tip. I write it down. And then I look for it in the market because I can't tell by a label, you know, what's good. But when certain people recommend a wine, I note it. Yeah. Like I like some Oregon wines. Like I like sophisticated wines that have certain tones. So those are usually not €3.
Right.
So I'll look for 10 and above here. Mm-hmm. But some days I'm okay with €3. You know, right. You blend.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So yes, any American would be happy with the wine here.
Okay.
Very happy.
So we talked a little bit about the safety and there's lack of crime. So that makes just things more comfortable as well. So guns aren't allowed, right? So unless for hunting.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't ask, but I don't see any. Yeah.
No. So yeah. I think it's pretty safe. Like if I had to take my dog out at 2 a.m, I wouldn't feel at all worried.
I don't worry at all. I think I mentioned to you last time that when I was staying with my friend, I would go to the beach and walk through a forest in the dark with Riley, who's all of 8 kilos or 7.5, pitch black. I've been approached by people and I feel completely safe.
That's
and
great.
It's dark and I'm in a foreign country and I don't speak the language. You it's just a, don't feel unsafe here.
That's good. It's such
That's
a,
different.
It's different. It's something that I haven't experienced. So when I come visit, I'll experience. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the healthcare a little bit. Are there good hospitals? How far is the hospital from you?
Yeah, I just had a procedure just to give it like a real concrete example. I had to have a colonoscopy and endoscopy the same day at a private hospital. So I pay for private healthcare. In terms of pricing, I pay something like, I think it's something like $1,100 or $1,200 a year. I was paying something like $800 a month.
Month.
In the U.S.
Quite a difference.
Most of the people speak English. Not everybody. I was giving very specific instructions. I was giving the instructions in Portuguese and writing a very lengthy package. I have to say, I didn't like the procedure in this way. I have done colonoscopies before in the U.S. And I found this is like a bizarre example, but I've always done the prep during the day. And this one, the instructions, I had to start them at midnight. I'm like, Yeesh. Why the heck would I have to be awake
right
at midnight to start the solution? And I thought, I'm reading this wrong. This has got to be something wrong in the instruction. Nope. Sure enough, it was correct. Because I said, no, I must be misunderstanding. And no, I had to drink the solution and I had to remain awake through 3:30 in the morning. And I said, and then I had to get up. And then sure enough, I got up at 5:30, 2 hours later. Ugh. And then I tried to go back to sleep, got up at 6. So that was the most uncool part of it because I said, who the hell puts instructions together like this?
Right.
That's the one thing I said. Why can't they do it like in the U.S.?
Right.
I found myself saying that because then I got there. So this is an example of something that didn't go so well. Their instrument panel wasn't working correctly. It wasn't working at all. And so they had me there going, I'm so sorry. The thing isn't working. And I said, so how much longer are we going to sit here until you decide if we're going forward or not? Because I didn't sleep very well. I'm extremely thirsty. All I could think about was water. Like, I was so right, thirsty.
Because you couldn't have.
I was thirsty as hell, right? And I said, because I'm starting to think I may just cancel. Like, I'm, you know, and of course I didn't want to just leave because right, they prepared me. I did not want to drink that solution again. So believe right, me, I was willing to sit it out to an extent. And then at some point, everybody came and spoke to me. So the instructions from every single person that touched me from the phone call and everything was very spot on, very well laid out. The person who checked me in was very funny, you know, and then the anesthesiologist came and spoke to me. Then the doctor came and spoke to me. At some point he checks back in and he says, is it okay if we just do this without the images? And I'm thinking, is it like the image, like the main point?
What,
like,
you have to right, see if there's any, right.
And I said, listen, do you need the images? Because I sure as hell don't care to see the images. If you can make your decisions without the images,
right,
I'm all good.
Right.
Okay, I'm not the doctor. Like, here's where
right, you
like,
are.
You're the expert. You don't need the images. I don't need the. And I'm like kind of there. And I'm like, I kept thinking, I need water. I'm like, I'm just thinking of water, right? And I'm like, get this over with, because you're coming in both sides, right?
Yep.
I'm like, let's get this party rolling. And the funny thing is, I was invited to go sailing that day by my friend who is a lesbian, and we're going sailing for her birthday with her French family. And I'm like, I want to leave. I don't want to be late for my birthday party. So I had ulterior motives too. And I'm like, okay. So the healthcare is wonderful. But that's an example of something that I still don't understand.
Right.
And someday I'll question it. Why the heck would I need to do this crap in the middle of the night?
Right.
You're interrupting my sleep. I needed a ride. My friend doesn't drive. So we took an Uber there, an Uber back. Then their machine didn't work. But it worked out in the end. You know, that's as bad as it's gotten. You know, but why do the Portuguese do this in the middle of the night? I still don't know. Their machine didn't work. That can happen, you know, but the team was very friendly. They were detail oriented. They have very good bedside manners. The doctor explained to me the results on the spot. They did a small biopsy. I'm waiting for the results. They did tell me those would take 2 to 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
They gave me a bill. So the bill, I think, outside of the copay, in addition to what I pay monthly, was 60 euros. And there were no surprises, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I get a bill from, like, for some medicine, and it's like, I think one time they told me, like, 4 cents or something. And I kept thinking, my Portuguese isn't good. She can't mean 4 cents, right? And I'm like getting my MB way is a way you can pay with
euros,
your credit card. No, it was 4 cents. And I'm getting my credit card payment ready. And I'm like, she couldn't have meant 4 cents. She's like, 4 cents is your, I'm like, why am I paying you with my credit card? Let me get less than a nickel.
Right.
So sometimes your bill, oh my God, it's really pouring. Sometimes your bill is so low, you don't even have a coin small enough to pay. And that is an amazing miracle coming from the U.S. I said, are you really telling me all this medicine is
four
a nickel?
Cents. Oh, God. That's crazy.
It's hailing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So this is weather for you. Yeah. It's like a bad storm.
So to obtain a visa, do you go through the United States consulate first?
That's a good question. You know, I didn't need a visa because I told you I had an Italian passport.
Oh, yeah. You were pretty easy.
I think you do. Now, for Californians and maybe Arizonians, I think there's a body that helps you prepare. I do think it's a consulate, but I believe you can go through... it's called VFS, V, F as in Frank, S as in system, V as in Victor. It's a group that's been subcontracted with by the consulate to support the consulate in processing because they're a little overwhelmed. And I was helping my friend do her D7 visa. And I believe I've made some phone calls for her. They are super friendly. You know how people always say, oh, the government, they're not customer service, blah, blah, blah. They are the most customer service friendly people I've ever encountered. They actually answer the phone. They give good answers. And if you go on their website, they have like a lot of answers. Also, along those lines, there's a group here in Portugal. I'm trying to think of the name, like American Friends and Family, blah, 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 Portugal. And they are officially back in business because in August, they take the whole month off. And they have a section with step-by-step instructions on how to apply. Because most people do not, this is my understanding and that of many, do not need to hire a lawyer. Like it's pretty simple, like process that you can self-instruct yourself step by step what you need to do to apply for the D7 visa, which is what most retirees might apply for.
Right. Okay. Good to know. So living there, are you homesick for anything? Do you miss anything that you don't have?
I would just say friends. But in terms of things, no.
Okay.
No, nothing.
No stuff that you miss. Okay. In wrapping up, what would you say to our audience if they're thinking about relocating to Ericeira?
Well, anyone that's relocating to Ericeira or anywhere else for that matter is really to think deeply about their reasons for wanting to relocate. Think about those and sit with those reasons and maybe come explore. You know, I think I've heard of people who come to Portugal sight unseen. I don't recommend that. I think there's nothing like
seeing and experiencing.
Yeah, like having your own experience of something, your own interaction, because I can say my experience and I'm not in your body. I'm not in your sense of sensibility, and what can work for one may not work for another. Yeah. And certainly explore, because I think these days we all have the ability to live a completely different life if we choose to.
Yeah.
I think we all have that global reach. And I certainly would invite people to be curious and explore.
Yeah, that's great advice. Well, thank you so much, Roxana.
Well, thank you, Mark.
Yeah, for being a part of this. This was excellent. I loved it. I learned a lot, and everyone's going to learn a lot from you as well. So thank you for coming and spending the time with us. Okay. Take care now.
Thank you for listening to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast and consider making a donation by clicking the coffee cup on any page at www.wheredogaysretire.com. Each cup of coffee that you buy costs $5 and goes towards helping us continue the podcast. Thank you for your continued support.